All right, we're starting on Nun Mad Aleph at the two dots. We just finished up discussing the first issue in the Mishnah, which is Al-Kazayit Meit, right? That's why do we need Allah Meit and Al-Kazayit Meit? Now the Gemara is going to discuss the next lines in the Mishnah, the next two lines, which will be today's daf, which is Al-Kazayit Meit Sel, Al-Malei Tarvad Rekev. So those are the next two issues of the Gemara, so we'll first spend most of the day on Al-Kazayit Meit Sel. Or this fluid that's released from the body. So Ezu Netzel. So Gemara Nun Amud Aleph says, what is Netzel? What is this stuff? So two possibilities. One is Basar HaMeit Shekarash Humohel Shetiach. So one of the two things is either the flesh of the mace that decomposed and then rehardened or coagulated, and Humohel Shetiach, or liquids that were heated or boiled out of the mace. And we'll see what that means, but it sounds like from Tosfot, that means that when you boil these liquids, they reach a boiling point, and that they're able to boil, as opposed to other liquids we'll see in a second. Hey, Chidami, what's the case here? If we don't know that it belongs to the mace. So two ways to learn what this means, Idlo yadina, meaning the Mefari says means we don't know, first, I mean, it's not the mace at all. Or according to Tosfos in the Rosh, it means Elo Yadina, and means we don't know. It could be from the mace, may not be from the mace. Kikarash Mayavi. And when it hardens, why do we care? Meaning that according to the Mefari, it's still not the mace, or according to Tosfos in the Rosh, it's still Suffolk. Even if it hardens after the liquids come out, you're still in a status of Suffolk. Ella dia diinan didehu. Alright, so you know it definitely came from the mace. So avagav lo karash. Then why do you need it to harden in order to be tame? Meaning if it comes from the mace, then it's a part of the mace, and it'll be metame like the mace. What do you need it to harden for? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya presents us with the solution. Istam, these are liquids that clearly came from the mace, but we're uncertain as to what types of liquids. The liquids in the mace can be many, meaning that it could be kechel v'neo, which is the example that Yishonim use here, that the Gemara even mentions over here, kechel v'neo, right? It could be mucus and saliva, or it could be basar hamet, it could be the flesh of the mace, or the blood of the mace. So the difference is that flesh of the mace and blood of the mace is metame, whereas kechel v'neo are external properties of the mace, and they're not metame like a mace. So what's the test?
Mucus.
What?
Saliva or mucus?
Mucus. All right. So they have, what's the test? The test is this karash. E karash, mo'elhu. If it hardens, then we're clear that it's a release of the mace. I mean, it's basar and it's, or it's blood. Lo karash, if it does not harden or coagulate, dilma kecho v'ne'ehu. Maybe it is saliva or the mucus of the mace. So now,
so far we haven't at all paid attention to the
tifu aspect. Right, that's
this
right.
Is just courage.
Right, exactly. All right. Now, by minei by me rabo. So by as rabo, yesh neitzel lebehema or any neitzel lebehema. This concept of neitzel, does it have application outside of human corpses? Does it apply also to the dead animals? Mi amrina, do we say ki amrina neitzel et ati miyada? That the whole limud or the halacha of neitzel is applicable to people, to cadavers. But ati miyema, no. But if it comes out of a behema, then no. Odilma lo shna. Or maybe it makes no difference. This concept of neitzel is any release of liquids that are shaykh to the mace. That mace could be a person or it could be a behema. So does it have application by behema? Smar says, well, hanich lamanda amar tuma chamura ad lager, betuma kala ad lekelev shapir. So there isn't, oh, I'll read the other, mandamar lamandamar tuma chamura ad lekelev maikalamema. So there's two mandamars, a gemara in Chulin and Bechovistad, discuss what is the status of tumah. Tumah is applicable to certain items. For instance, tumas nevela. It's a animal that died, right, without being shechted, and without being shechted is a nevela. So you have a nevela, which is metame, ke nevela, which is metame, b'magan, b'masa. So now, how long is this remain a nevela? When is it considered a nevela, or how is it considered a nevela? So we had this earlier by the Gemara of Petr Mitzarech Lisur and Tam Kikar, that the Gemara in Chulin Darshins, that it is, who do you give the nevela to? That the Torah says, well, the ger, right, that you give it to the ger. So the Gemara Darshins, based on that, that as long as it is ra'ui l'ger, then it is considered a nevela. If it's no longer ra'ui l'ger, then it is not a nevela. So that's it. So when does nevela end, or when does this status nevela end? When it's no longer ra'ui for a human consumption, then it's
gone. What type of nevela is that?
Any type of nevela. It's an animal that it dies, whether it's a kosher animal, non-kosher animal, but it did not get shechted. By a kosher animal, make a difference if it got shechted, it would be a treifel, but these are nevelot, which are from animals that died by them, right, of their own, or of
natural
causes. Exactly. So these nevelot are only, according to the first mandam, are only nevelot as long as a ger can eat them. Now, tumat kala, which is tumat ochlim, when you deal with foods can become tamei. How long can foods become tamei, or if they have a kibetza where it passed on tumah? That is, as long as they are ra'ui l'achilat kelev, as long as they are edible by a dog. So this first mandomer has two strata in terms of when does something lose its status of tumah. He has one stat, the first strata, the first category is nevela. Nevela, which is tumah chamura, because it's metame b'maga u'b'machsa, even by carrying it, it's metame. That tumah is only extant until, or right, is still problematic until it is hustled achilas ger, until its human consumption is lost. But when it comes to regular ochlim, that waits until achilas kelev, and then it loses its status. So now, according to him, there's no question here, because it's clear that whatever comes out of a behemah, which we're talking about in nevela here, right? A behemah, which is tamei, the nature that comes out of it is not ra'ui, l'achilas ger. So it's not really l'achilas ger, we're no longer talking about an issue. So for him, there's no question at all, because nature is outside the category of nevela. Once it's outside the category of nevela, the question is moot. So now the question really comes up according to the other mandamar, which is the mandamar tumah chumura l'kelev, that this mandamar believes that both nevela and regular ochlim remain in their status until they're no longer ra'ui l'achilas kelev. So even a nevela is still considered a nevela until it's not fit for animal consumption. So now there's a question. That netzel that comes out of the behemah, which is no longer ra'ui for human consumption, but it's still ra'ui for animal consumption, does that netzel have a status of tumat nevela, or does it outside the category? This netzel is a unique category to Adam, to human beings, and does not have application by animals. So tashma, let's see. Gimchu ba'or tamei v'chama tahor. If he heats it up, he singes it in the fire. What is it? Right, according to the Mefarsh, it's chilev nevela. The chilev of a nevela, according to the Tosfos the Rosh, they say this is quoted by a, this Bryce is talking about a nevela Oph Tahor. It's talking about a nevela of an Oph Tahor, that the Shuman, they're talking about the fats in a nevela of an Oph Tahor that you've now singed. If they are singed by fire, they remain Tameh. They're singed by the sun, they are Tahor. So now the Gemara's question, right? If you think that the ability to remain a tumah, the tumas nevela remains until it's roi l'achilas kelev, right? Then even if the sun melts or liquefies this shuman, it should still be, right? It's still roi l'achilas kelev. It should be tumah like netzel. Should be a case of netzel. So this proves to us that what? That it is not. There's no concept of netzel by behema, because if there was a concept of netzel behema, we assume that it's ra'ui l'achilas kelev, that's liquefied, and yet it is tahor. So now, the question is, what's the difference then? Why when you do it, versus when the sun does it, is there a difference? Right, so that's what Gemara is. That question really brings the answer of the Gemara, and that's because Yisar b'chela afil b'chamenam imat. So the Gemara says, no, imat m'machile. When does the sun dissolve or liquefy the fat, butter das ruach, right, the chama. That's after it's already rotted in the sun, right? That's after it's already inedible. Came to asra chavaleyafar. Once it's rotted like that in the sun, it's no longer valid for consumption, and therefore when it melts into netzel, we're not talking about netzel anymore, we're talking about a liquid that is no longer a liquid. So now, the still question, so why is it that when you heat it versus when the sun heats it, is there a difference in the status? So that Tosfos says, if you look in the Tosfos Bechama Tahor, you see where it says Bechama Tahor in the Tosfos? The second one is right below that heading, the dot from the heading. It says Afilu Bechama. It says Afilu Bechama Namili Tamei Takati Hava Roi Lekelef. Al Mishmamina Dei Netzel. Right, so from there you can see what, that there is no netzel by behemah l'kachu tor aval ba'or hagam by fire mia kevin shem chul bi'adayim, since you heat it up, you know, physically, you did it. Adif mi netzel, that is even better than liquefied fat. V'lavi ela mishin nirkav, right, v'nimcha, that's only after it rots, decomposes, and liquefies mi atzma.
Netzel is.
Right, so netzel, in the status, that is like what the sun creates netzel, which is that it rots, liquefies, and becomes a liquid. So there, right, that netzel, that is no longer roi l'achilas, right, and therefore it's outside the category. But when you as a person melt down the fat or the shilman, that it happens prior to the status of decomposition, because you're actively engaging the fat, you're heating it in order to melt it. Once you do that, that could be even prior to the point where it's not roi l'achilas adam, or I'm sorry, roi l'achilas kelev, and therefore it'll be tamei. It'll be tamei because it never lost its status of roi l'achilas kelev, and it's better than netzel because it hasn't rotted to the point where it's liquefied. All right, now it's not been involved in this. The Gemara leaves this unsolved, this issue, meaning that according to the one who says that Dumas avail less until it's roi l'achilas kelev, we thought we had a proof that there is no netzel by behema, because we brought this brice or this tosefta down that said that bechama tahor. Gemara says, well, that's not a proof. Bechama tahor is probably tahor because it's no longer edible. So unless you know what the status of netzel is, right, then you can't prove anything from here, because this is already afar. This is already dirt. And if it's dirt, there's nothing to talk about with regards to Tumah.
Just explaining that status when it rots in the sun is worse than just it on its own. There's really three levels then.
Right.
There's
right.
If you heat it up yourself when it's still fresh,
right?
And that's, so that's still, you know, tame.
Right.
And then the rotting in the sun is for sure not. I mean, in between, if it rots by itself and the liquid seeps out, we're unclear now what that
netzel is, right? Although it also seems to say that after netzel will have yelosh and nirkav and imcha me'atzmo, but has some sort of rotting or decomposition that happens, but maybe not aided necessarily by the sun.
Right,
once the sun gets
the sun
involved,
makes a difference.
Right,
then
the sun, there is three categories, like you're saying. The sun will be rotted to the point where it's no longer roi l'achilas kelev. You have a human, which means it remains roi l'achilas kelev. You engage it and heat it up and melt it. And there's the netzel, which
we're not sure.
So the Gemara is inconclusive with regards to the netzel, and that's Kedarka Bakodesh. The Gemara Nazir will leave it, and Adorim will leave it unsolved. All right, it's not. New Mishnah. That kolanitzok tahor, all connections are considered tahor. So what is this? This is a case where you have some sort of liquid or some sort of pot below that has something tamei in it, and you have a pot above which you're pouring into this tamei pot. So that nitzok is the connection, the liquid connection between these two pots. So as you're pouring, but we don't say that the tuma then, this is a chibur, this is a connection between the lower pot and the upper pot, so therefore the tuma travels back up to the upper pot, and therefore when you stop pouring, the upper pot, whatever was left in the upper pot is tamei. We don't say that. Everything is tahor. Chutz. Right? There are two exceptions to this. One is midvash hasifim, azifim, and vatsa pichit. Right, dvash hasifim and hatzapichit, dvash, honey, both of these are types of honey. One is dvash hasifim is either it comes from the place called Zaif, dvash from Zaif, or the other possibility is that this is a type of devash that is so thick that you need to water it down in order, and even when you put the water in, it's not recognizable, the water, because it's so thick that the water gets absorbed, right, or subsumed in there. So this is a very, very thick type of honey. Right, a tibichit is two possibilities. One is tibichit means the comb itself, the honeycomb itself, where you scraped out the honey and the wax. So it's very thick because the wax is still contained within the honey. But the other possibility is that tibichit is an isa, and tibichit bedvash is the equivalent of a honey bun, right? Today, but it's the isa. While it's still in the it's still in the dough form. The honey, the tibichit bedvash in the dough form is very thick, doughy honey combination. So both of these are thick, and their thickness causes it that there is a chibur. It's considered as if there is a connection between the lower pot and the upper pot, and therefore the upper pot, whatever remains in the upper pot, will become tameh based on these two items.
In general, there's a classic mitzvah which says whether you say because kamaga or not, right? These are kamaga. And I thought that we pass can be included that it is kamaga.
You'll see in a second. All right, the different reasons why. Here, the question here is why did these two exceptions of this items here? So the thing is that
I... Generally, it was a bazaar, right? And you have different cases with the wine, lower value like that. So what do we say in general? Say Nitzuk is kamaga, Nitzuk is not kamaga.
It depends. It depends how it's working. There's something called Riri, which we're going to get involved with in a second. Mm-hmm. There's Nitzuk, which comes from the thickness of the item. And there's the other thing, which is, does the item ever reverse back up? Meaning that when you stop the pouring process, does that stopping the pouring process cut it off at the top and everything goes down? Or when you cut it off, do you get a retraction? Right, do you get a retraction?
You say actually, the thicker the substance,
the more chance of retraction. Right? Yeah, so that's what we're going to get. Right, that's exactly what the Gemara is going to get involved with. Right, these porridges or cooked beans, the split beans, whole beans, meaning that these these chilies or whatever you want to call them that are very thick types of cooking, they also, mipnei, the Abichami gives a reason, mipnei, so let it lachor out, because it retracts, it pulls back. Alright, so he thinks that the Abichami believes that this item is included because it has a retraction. Gemara is going to ask exactly this. Your question. Is there nitzuk for ochlim or not nitzuk for ochlim? Now, who is this question on? So, all that we've shown him here give one possibility, which is that this question is only on the chachamim. Bechami gave their reason. Bechami says the whole problem is soledet achara, that it retracts, it pulls back. So that's the reasoning of Bechami. So the question is, what's the reasoning of the Rabbanon? Is the reason, it's two possibilities, that what's the Rabbanon think? Do the Rabbanon believe that it's also because of retraction, and it's just a question of machlokes between them and Beit Shammai is about how thick the item needs to be in order to retract. Meaning that for them, dvash, zifim, and tzapichit are so thick that they will retract when you stop pouring, whereas grisin is a not as thick an item, and therefore it does not retract. And Beit Shammai says, no, even grisin retracts. That's one possibility.
Beit Shammai doesn't say that anything that you pour is there. They give this specific example. Obviously, this is something that's also... you would think it's thicker than like a regular liquid.
Yes, that's good, for sure. Or, but they give their reason as being soledet achara. Or do we believe that Beit Shammai Bezil and the Chachamim here are arguing in their entire positions, meaning that Beit Shammai thinks the problem here is soledet achara, retraction, or the Chachamim think it's thickness, that is the issue. Chibor is generated by how thick the connection is.
Thick enough pipe.
Right, exactly. That becomes like zip is one unit.
Substance.
Very good. So that's it. So mi'amrina. So that's what Gemara says. Mi'amrina mishum di'is be'ri'ri'ri. Do we say that by regular ochlim, these have kickback or retractables, and these don't have riri, meaning food doesn't have riri, or it has to do with the thickness of the item, here it is, got to the thickness. So anyway, all the Rishon learned, this is the question, the Mepharsh brings one opinion that this question is on Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai, when they say soledet l'achara, do they mean simply soledet l'achara, or do they mean soledet l'achara in combination with thickness? All right, the simplest way to read it is this: a question of the chachamim. What's the position of the chachamim? Now Gemara says, "Amar Rava Tashma, I have a proof. Chelev hameis, Shushalim, you have chelev of a mace that is whole, vehitichol, and then you heat it up, right? Haya mifurad, vehitichol, tahor, right? If it was split up, meaning that the chelev was already broken up into pieces, and there wasn't a kazayas in one place, and then you heated it up, it's tahor, even if after you heated them, they come together, it's tahor. So the first case is you have a solid kazayas of chelev from the mace, which is tamei, then you heat it up into a liquid form, right, it remains tamei when it reaches its liquid form. Whereas the chelev, if it was small pieces beforehand and they were all less than a kezayis, which are not mitamei, when you heat it up, even when they get gathered together, when the liquid joins together later on, that is not tamei. All right. If you believe in nitzuklo, claim that there is no such thing as nitzuklo, claim shalem v'ticho namelit teher. Even if it was one kezayis, right, it should also be tahor after you've heated it up. Because what happens when you heat up the solid? As you heat up the solid, the liquids, right, dissolve, and also they disperse. And the liquids break up into, or spread out over places, they run down the sides of the pot as the solid liquid liquefies, right down the side of the pot. So you have to believe, what's the connection between the whole liquid here? If you took a kezayis and then you liquefy it, how is it connected? It's connected by the fact that these nitzokim, that there's, the liquid always has some sort of runner that runs between the whole, all the liquids and either the central kezayis or the puddle, the central puddle of this kezayis.
The difference between the first scenario and the second scenario is whether if there was one junk that was a kezayis, so it was inherently tamei. If they're, as opposed to the farad, where you have all these away, so what, the fact that they're all considered separate means that they don't have tumah because they're all smaller than a kezayis.
Right.
So what we're saying now is when you liquefy it, if you don't consider it to be nitzok, then it's like they're all separate.
Right.
Right. No, nitzok can play. If you say they're nitzok, then it falls into like one gush.
Right.
Right. So as we were saying, liquefying it is like making it before out. Essentially, right? That's the...
That would be, if you don't believe
that's
in
nitzok. That's the question, right?
Right. If you melt a single kezayis, it by definition disperses,
right.
And therefore is that one entity or not, and that will depend on whether you hold nitzok or not hold nitzok. So you see, the fact that we do consider one entity must be that there is nitzok by other ochlim. And here you don't have thick, this is not a thick item, it's been liquefied, and it's not retractable because it's not really, we're not pouring here. So it's not talking about a retraction here. It says, in nitzok lo shalom yitzuk lo namelitair, am reb zera. I know, v'mar brei devarino tergamino. We explain this tosefta this way. Hacha b'yaskinam, what's the case here? Kagon de bahadi de mirtach le salik amuda de nor lepume de mono. That the fire was so strong in the pan, on the frying pan, that it melted the kezayis in a single shot. That it didn't slowly melt the kezayis and have it run down the sides or into puddles or spread it out. It was so, the fire was so strong that it actually melted it in a single shot. Vikarash. Right? And then it hardened in a single shot. Because what happens if it doesn't harden in a single shot, what you're going to have is, as the fire cools down, right, then the liquid, if it was so hot that it liquefied it in a single shot, if you say then that what happened was it lifted it up to the top of the pot, it was so hot, it pushed it to the top of the pot and liquefied it in an instant, then if you say when it hardened, it did not harden instantly, then what will happen is the liquids will slowly come back to the bottom of the pot and harden at the bottom. So that retract going back to the bottom will cause the nitzuk, right? So what you have to have is that it was so hot that it liquefied immediately, and then it hardened. Somehow they got it cool enough so fast that it hardened at that one shot.
Right, it's crazy. When it shot up, so that off the heat, I guess, and it
cooled. Whatever happened here, whatever the exact circumstance of how they got it, this to be so hot and cold instantly, but whatever happened was that there was no nitzok involved here. So they explained this to Tosefta, where there's no nitzok, and therefore we have no proof from this, right, this price up. It says, they're all together. If they're all together, then...
The case of nitzok.
Right, there is no proof here because we never had nitzok here.
Flowing or...
Right, exactly. Now, just to point out, this Tosefta and all those points out that why when you heat it up, how come the small pieces, the small nifrad pieces, when you heat them up and bring them together, why doesn't that create a chibur? Meaning if you get into a single puddle, how come that doesn't become kezayis now? Say the Mishnah and all those says that chibur b'day adam lo havi chibur. that the chibur by a human connection is not considered a connection. And if you take some tuma, then, and you somehow bring it together, if you're the one who generates the connection in the tuma, that is not considered a chibur. That's not
considered the connection to form
a single unit here. Meaning that you have chaylev that was less than a kazayat, and then you heat it up and make
it. General rule is that when you have different particles that are less than a kazayat, and then we say there's
circles. Well, it depends what. You can have certain things be mitzah raised. And Tosus asks a number of questions where we do have to refer you to Adam, first of all. If you're touching two Hachi Kazayas Nevela, you are Tomei because you're touching. Right, you conduct the Tumah between them. Or, for instance, if you go into an Ohel Mace where there were two Hachi Kazayas Nevela, the Ohel is Mitzari to them. And then he brings one tip we just had in our Gemara, the case of Revias Dam. Revias Dam from two Meitim that combine. Right, if you combine the Revias Dam, if you have Revias Dam that's combined from two Meitim coming together and you bring them together, there's a. Right, so all of these are cases where it does work. So what Tosa says, well, why in all those cases does it work? Right, then in our case it doesn't work.
Especially in the case of touching two
Meitim. Right, that is the most right. Very good. So Tosa says, I'll give you the answer. So Tosa says, Yeshlam is Aino Dapling and Ohel. Ohel is a unique case. Because it creates a single entity out of them. So it's really like not like they're two entities, but they really are a single entity. That's how he takes care of that.
Although you can understand that, because that's the nature of how it seems to work.
Right. So then he deals with, what about Revias Dam Mishnei Meitim? So he says that is point out of a pasuk. That's a limud min a pasuk, and therefore we can't bring any proof to that. That's a unique case. And the last one, which is Akol Nafshot
Meitim.
Now,
either from Kol or from Nafshot.
Right. Very good. So now Yesh Lomar Dehainu Davka. Now what about the two pieces of tumah that he uses? If he does, puts his hands on the two. Yesh Lomar Dehainu Davka Bishu Tumas Meishu Tumah Bami Menu. The Tzarfol the Kazayis but Tamei Achirim. Right, what about this case of if Tarif, the two nevelos together, he says, there's some sort of line of meat that joins between them. There's some sort of like little stringy piece that joins the two kazaisim together, and that's why it works over there. That's what Tosa says. In the last case, what about Tumas Ochlin? If you bring Ochlin together to it could be a beitza, they become Ochlin. Zakmar says that's different. He says that's different. Hainu Dapka Tumas Mace. Shetuma mi ba mi men. When it comes out of the mace and the tumah is being generated by this item, then Chiburi Adam is not Chiburim. Right, by Tumas Ochlin, to accept Tumah, to pass on Tumah afterwards, that's Tumah that's being brought from an outside force. When it's brought from an outside force, you can bring Ochel together to generate a piece big enough to generate Tumah to be passed on. So that's how Tosus deals with it. But based on what Tosus is doing, you're starting to limit when we say Chibur Yadam Ein El Chibur. Okay? But basically what it comes down to in the end, when we say Chibur Yadam Ein El Chibur, there's no external force that's being mechaper them, right? Either a string or an Ohel or a Pasuk that tells you so. And number two is, it's only in instances where the Tumah is outcomes out of this
source,
right, the source of tumah, you can't be mechaber. But if it's something that then is going to be mechaber tumah, pass it on, that you can have a chiburei adam for. All right, now Gemara tries one more shot to prove what the answer is. Tashma b'chami omrim. This is how I introduced it. We introduced the sugya. Chami omrim af hamikpeh shel grisim. Right, shel pul mipeh shein tzol dim lachorein. Right, b'chami gives the reason. Midei iria ata mishum desmichin acha mishum deriri. So Gemara's first assumption is because b'chami says the problem is retraction, right, being retracting in. So too the position of the chachamim should be that it is retracting inward. Right, that the nitzok pulls back. So Gemara says, that's how we explain it. That's one possibility. So that's both of them hold this retraction. Gemara says, no. Who says that? That's not necessarily their argument about what thickness of liquid of items you need for retraction. The Chum say Dvash Tzifin and Tzapichit, and Bechamai says even Pul, right, and Grisin. But that's their argument. No, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? They could be have totally different opinions. Bechamai believes the whole problem here is Soledet Achorel, means retraction, and the Chumim believe that it's Mishum Riri, because of thickness. And if it's because of thickness, right, then it'll have application by other Ochlim, right, that are also thick, or if you think it's Mishum Riri, right, then maybe there's an expansion to other liquids that also retract, or some things that retract as long as they're thick enough to retract.
How many of them is that the Machlokas essentially then is whether different substances spring back or not?
Right.
And
how thick an ice substance do you need in order for Evis to consider an absolute spring back, right? That there will be spring. So that's the happening of the Gemara. The Gemara rejects it.
Would you consider that a machlokas of Metzius?
Right, it is.
Can't you test it and see?
Right, but not exactly Metzius, but maybe it is. But basically, yes, a machlokas of Metzius, but it might be, the machlokas might be, is how certain are we that there is going to be kickback? Meaning that the thicker the item, the more certainty we have of kickback or chibur, right? That whereas by mikvah shel grisin, maybe sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's true, actually. You can say certain substances that.
Right. So how much
momentum was generated when it was pouring, you know, whereas other things that are so thick that whenever you're going to stop pouring,
right,
it's going to retract. It's going to spring back.
So that's maybe the machlokas there. So, yes, Matthias, but there might be something within Matthias where how far do we say it's retractable or not? That's one. The Gemara rejects that and says no. So we have, it's inconclusive again. The Gemara here can't bring a proof. So we don't know whether there's application of Soled whether there's Nitzuk by other Oklim, or a Nitzuk by other Oklim, right, whether there has application by right other Oklim, because whether it's, the problem is re-read, kickback, right, and these don't have kickback other liquids, or it's because of thickness, and we do have other Oklim that are also as thick as Tzvichim B'Tavash, and they'll have application by other Oklim. Right now, on to the next line in the Mishnah, Mamalei Tavad Rekef. Sorry, you have a spoonful of rot. Right, a spoonful of rot. What is a spoonful of rot? The Kamishiro. Right, a spoonful is not, is that a teaspoon, tablespoon? What type of spoon are we talking about here? So Chizkiya Amar Malei Pisat Hayad. It's the palm of your hand. The palm of your hand, not including the fingers, meaning that it's from the wrist until the connection to the knuckles. Right, that's the area, that palm of your hand, that's the amount it is. Now, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar Malei Melo Chafnav. Right, Melo Chafnav means his... Right, the full hand, full. According to the Mefarsh, it simply means with the fingers. But Chufnav also means, seems to me, meaning that Chufnai, that is two, meaning that he's using the palms of his hands, right? Melo Chufnav, right, would be a plural, meaning two.
And by the Kohen doing the Knitzer, right? That's Melo Chufnav.
Right. But here you have two. You know, we have it by Mitzrayim when they're going to throw the piachak kibshan, right? Then he takes Melech Chofnav, and then Moshe takes it in his one hand. That's one of the miracles, right? That mentioned there that Aaron took Melech Chofnav, which was two. There it says, but he took two handfuls and he gave it into Moshe as one hand, and he was able to throw it, right? Now, here anyway, so Melech Chofnav sounds like the, but either way, the major issue is whether the fingers are connected, are included or not. According to this, Melech Chofnav means the full, palm.
So the verse claims it just the fingers without being?
All he says is that Melech Chofnav is Mahadi Etzbotav, with his fingers. Right, and
that means with it. I mean, otherwise, what's more?
No, I'm saying the whole finger's with the palm. I agree with you, the whole thing. I'm just asking whether you have to have two.
Oh, whether it's
plural here or not, right? Whether it should be Melech Chofnav or Chofnav, what is, whether we're using, is this a plural or not plural here? But all right, now Dumar asks. Tonight we have a. I should be Tanya here because it's a Sefta. The Melo Rekif, according to Rabbi Meir, is from the point where the fingers attach to the hand to the top tips of the fingers. So it's just the fingers. The area of the fingers, that's what's considered a Melo Tavad. Again, the full handfuls, right? Full handfuls of it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who Damak Rabban. That's the position of the Ram. Melo Chofnav, they use the same term in both cases. But Chizkiya, come on. Who's Chizkiya hold like? Either Loki Rabbi Meir, it's not like Rabbi Meir. Meir says from the knuckles up to the ends of the fingers, right? And the thumb say the whole handful. Right, so now what do you say? Zomar says, no. Amre, Melo Pisatayad, O Melo Kishre Esbotav, Lamala Chachiruhu. One possibility is that they want the palm of your hand from your wrist until your knuckles, and from the knuckles to the tips of the fingers are equal spaces. Right? So if they're equal spaces, it's one shiur. And I'm saying exactly like Rebbe Meir. The other possibility is, we made an assumption. All Rebbe Meir said was, from the knuckles up. Which way is up? Right? So we assumed that up meant to the tips of your fingers, but up also could mean up towards the body. So how do you know that when it says, from the knuckles, it meant knuckles to tip, fingertips, it could mean knuckles to wrist. And that would be exactly like Rabbi Meir. That would make Rabbi Meir and Chizkiyah, right, equal. So Rabbi Meir, and therefore it would be the equivalent of having the palm over your hand, and then Rabbi Meir and Chizkiyah would be saying the same thing. Tosfos eliminates the gist of teku here, because there's nothing to have a teku about, right? Again, the Gemara is inconclusive about, right, who do we go like, Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiyah, but I'm just saying there's no teku is a term when we have, you know, we have something that we cannot define. We're asking a question that we don't have an answer to. Here, we don't have really a question that's unanswered. We made up possibilities of what Kishrei Etzbotav means, right? It could mean one or it could mean the other, but that's not something that usually use the word teku for. And so Tosfos eliminates the gears of teku over here. All right, we'll stop here.